Paul's concern is that there will be a lack of people to pass the gospel on to the next generation. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have tape recordings. They didn't have the technology we have today. It was passed along, written down, handed on. I think Paul was concerned here. That's is why he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, as we'll see, he tells him to find men who are faithful and who can teach and entrust it to them. Pass it on to them. Get them to teach. Paul wanted to see a succession of the gospel being passed on faithfully, without stain, without reproach, kept pure. That was a very real thing for him. This is what he means here when he says keep the commandments. That's what I think he means. How do you do that? Well, you do it by understanding the gospel. It's necessary to understand the gospel. Do you understand what the gospel is? Do you study the scripture in order to understand what the gospel is? And not just have you done it before, but are you doing it? I mean, that's really the what is necessary here. Am I studying the scriptures to understand the gospel more deeply? Don't worry about having it nailed down and getting bored with it. That's never going to happen. First of all, it's the gospel is the deepest of oceans that we can never, plumb the depths of completely. But secondly, the more you learn about it, the more you want to grow, the more you want to know, the deeper you want to go. Do you study the gospel? Are you under the hearing of the gospel? Do you understand what the gospel means? Let me clarify what the gospel means for a second. The gospel is this: that God created everyone. Therefore, God has rights over everyone. There's none here who can say, I'm my own island, I'm my own person, I do whatever I want to do. Everyone is under God's jurisdiction because He created us, He owns us. And He's a king. He's not just a king like we think about the king of Saudi Arabia or something. He's a king who's good and just and steadfast and loving. He's always perfect, always righteous, always merciful. He's just. He's perfect. That may be hard for us to understand, but that's who God is. That's what the scripture tells us about Him. The problem is that somewhere along the way, each of us says, I don't want to do it your way. I would rather be like Frank Sinatra and do it my way. I want to do it my way. I don't like what you're telling me to do, so I'm going to do it my way. And that, understand that this separates us from God, but what separates us from God is what we do, sure, but it's where what we do come from. It comes from within our hearts. Jesus said that's where sin, that's where murder, that's where adultery comes from. It begins in the heart. Just like these teachers who began to desire ungodly things, and it contributed to their downfall. So we sin, and God is just. God will not tolerate sin, because sin, in the essence, is an offense against God. It's shaking our little puny fist in God's eyes and saying, I don't want to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't want you to be king. I'm going to be my own king. So what should a just God do? What do you think? If you were just, you were the judge, someone comes before you and says, look, this person is a total hellion. They won't do anything I want them to do. What would you do? If you were just, you would say condemned. There would be punishment. And God is a just God. And He has promised a judgment that will come. But He's done something else. He has sent His Son into the world and became a man, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross. And His death on the cross represents God's judgment. God judged His Son instead of you. Jesus, who was perfect, Jesus, who was pure, Jesus, who was without sin, holy and righteous, voluntarily offered His life as a death to absorb that wrath of God, absorb that judgment of God. So Jesus has borne our judgment. But not everyone. In fact, no one apart from those who say, Jesus, I recognize my sin. I'm turning away from my sin. I'm throwing down my false crowns. I'm shattering my kingdoms. I am no longer my own master. I'm no longer my own king. I want you to be my king. I believe that what you've done is right. I believe that what you've done is good. I believe that what you've done is died in my place. And I trust that what you've done is going to be enough when I stand before God on the judgment day. Because it's coming, as we're going to see in just a minute. That's the gospel. Those who believe, and when you believe, remember the demons. The demons believe. What's the difference between a demon, someone who just believes the gospel, and someone who is eternally pardoned? Submission. The demons don't submit to God's reign. They understand it, but they don't want to have anything to do with his reign in their life. You must submit. You must confess Jesus as Lord.